Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. This vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people on Facebook who were using it the way that they wanted to, which was to post stuff, which was factually wrong, ran against me, who was posting corrections to what they were posting, which was the way that I wanted to do it, which they complained about. Part of this is also to follow up with the old adage that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I am known as Shootin' Tribble all over the place. You can find me under G+, Facebook, Twitter, under that handle. I was born into a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island, and am an unabashed atheist. Joining us on the round panel tonight, from just north of the border of me, Heretic Woman.
Hello, hello. I'm from Ontario, Canada. Started out in the United Church of Canada, which is kind of liberal. And then I did a dumb move and joined a Calvinist sect just for fun, you know. Don't recommend it. I've been an atheist for 25 years now, and it's much better on this side of the fence. And I'm all over the place doing shows and stuff and being loud and obnoxious, generally.
Which is perfectly fine. Moving to the south of me, into Pittsburgh, Joseph. Your microphone is muted somehow. We have no audio.
Yay. Nothing. For live show.
Yeah, really. Hang on a second, Joe. Let me see if I can manually adjust you. Try it now.
Nope.
No, apparently we have no audio from you. All right, we'll give you a couple moments to work that over and see what you can do. There might be a OS setting somewhere that's playing around with it, or maybe you hit the button again. We'll see.
He's going to come back, I think.
Yep. We'll see what happens with that. While we wait for him, moving across the water to England, and good morning, Chris.
Oh, morning, Shijin. Yeah, this is Chris from England. I was raised basically not Roman Catholic, but it never really took, and I've been an atheist for about 25 years now. But it was always something in the background. I've only recently actually become active in the community over the last couple of years.
And moving south from there into France, good morning, Joseph.
Good morning. My name is Joseph. I'm originally from London, Ontario, Canada. And I've been an atheist since around 20 years old or something like that. But recently I've been promoting critical thinking more than anything.
Fair enough. And let's see, Joey, let's see what you got now.
Maybe.
Good. Yay.
Wonderful. Good. Finally. Good. There we go. Good evening, folks. This is the wonders of live streaming. Name's Joe. I was born in Chicago, Illinois, to an Irish Catholic family. I then spent about 8 years in the military, and I'm now in Pittsburgh as an atheist.
Fair enough.
Great.
Yep, that works. All right. First off, of course, as people who have watched the show know full well, we are down two folks. Unrenowned Tech will not be taking the time to be with us tonight. He has personal and real-life things that have to be taken care of. He is going to be watching, of course, at some point or other, so thank you. Dallin is, don't quite know at the moment. Calgary was actually relatively warm, so I don't know what his problem is. So who knows? Maybe he's got flooded out, although his Skype account says otherwise. So I don't know what's going on, but we'll figure it out from there. Before we get started with the five-minute freestyle, first off, collectively, on behalf of the crew, our warmest regards go out to Paul from Corotify Me. Thank you very much for the episode that you just put out. We collectively are honored that you thought of us. Chronify Me just put out a special in support for Rafe and family, and both myself and Heretic Woman were in there. Look up the account and the episode. It was episode 49, huh?
49.
Okay. And yeah, you'll be able to hear our voices along with a whole bunch of others. I don't know about anybody else, but I was quite proud to be in and amongst such august company.
Absolutely.
And to go along with that one also, our collective hearts and appreciation go out to No Illusions. He knows why. You know what you did. And as I tweeted out to him, if you understand what the term liquid pride is from Shining Armor, what can I say? You're a special kind of crazy. And I'm glad that you're on our side. To go with that, then, let me get us started with apologies to Heath and Noah. Yes, I will continue to call you Noah. 5 minutes on the clock. My purpose this week was to go ahead and offend some people, specifically some people about their god. And I think I finally found an angle where I can actually piss off a lot of people and offend a lot of people. So here it is. Screw your god. No, that's not the piece of it that's going to do it. Because I've actually got three pieces that are going to prove that your god is a freaking moron. And believe it or not, I can use your own holy book to prove it to you. Now, there are plenty of ways where anybody could go ahead and say, well, there's all the contradictions, and all there's all the things that say that are so detrimental to society and the well-being of children, for instance, on several different angles, not the least of which is herpes for infants, but we'll talk about that one another time. Actually, as a matter of fact, we may end up talking about that sooner than later. I digress. Let's start off with your god's creation itself. The universe. Well, let's see. Your god created heaven. A wonderful, beautiful, unimaginably happy place that everybody gets to be at to start off with. Now, as opposed to some groups who say you're born into this particular religion, you're starting off from heaven. And then you get to go somewhere that was intentionally built to be wrong. What moronic logic could possibly be there? The idea that you have to go and live through whatever in order to fully appreciate how good you've got it in heaven, that's insane. Really, do I need to know what it's like to be hit on the ass with a boat oar until it breaks so that I can appreciate what it's like not to have that happen to me? Really? Because that's the same logic. Do I need to have somebody with a soldering iron carve into my skin every letter of every alphabet that's ever been in order for me to appreciate what it's like not to have wrinkled, white, destroyed skin? Truthfully? You're going to go with that? Really, that's your logic. That's what you're going to go with. What father, what mother, what guardian would ever get away with that? Ever. Ever. Under any circumstance. You're insane if you think that could be done. You're absolutely insane. You have no idea. But you know what? Let's leave the parenting thing aside for a second. Let's go ahead with this whole creation thing, this world that you get placed into. You have somebody go ahead and say, oh, you know what? We're going to take this little soul over here and we're going to drop it down like rocks into a bourbon so that you can go ahead and you can grow up in a place that's intentionally built that's not going to like you, that's going to hurt you one way or another. That's stupid. And then, somebody is going to go ahead and say, the world has got trickery built into it. All of these fossils that people have been digging up, they're not real. They were put here to test your faith, to find out, are you going to believe these pieces of lies that have been thrown into the ground for you to try to find and maybe try to piece together later? Or are you going to actually read the Holy Book and follow it and know full well that you are actually a piece of this all, and it's all been built up so that you can follow and you can be trained and you can figure exactly what's supposed to be happening so that you are the most important thing that your God has ever devised? You're going to go with that. That's the story you're going to go with. I will admit, I made worse lies for myself when I was in junior high, trying to hide the fact that my parents didn't actually sign on my tests that I had to take into my school. But you know what? That's a lie you want to go with? You know what? Fine. Fuck your God and everything it stands for. You Pastafarians need to get off your goddamn high horse because your God is a friggin' moron. Read it in your own holy book. Oh, I'm sorry. You Christians, you Jews, and you Muslims were all thinking I was talking about your God? I'm sorry. Do you have a guilty conscience, perhaps? This is episode 56, and we're going to be trying to figure out what is offensive to us all, to some of us, to none of us, and more importantly, why. With any luck, I've just pissed off some people and had some other people go, wait a minute, what? What just happened here? And actually, I was really hoping that Dallin would be here because I would really love to hear his laugh about all that. Because if you have not yet read The Loose Cannon According to the Flying Spaghetti Monster, you should really do that. Beer volcanoes and midget strippers in heaven, you get sent down here where the Flying Spaghetti Monster built the Earth intentionally with the fossils in the ground to screw with your mind. That's actually in their Bible. So, you know, like I said, if you've got a guilty conscience and you're from one of those other Abrahamic sects, good on you. Maybe you should really think about that a little while longer. In any case, we got a bunch of people who are watching at this point, and of course, thank you very kindly. It's nice to see that the viewership live is fast approaching double digits, so we got to be doing something right. Thank you. If you are watching live at this point, please, by all means, take advantage of the question and answer system over there. We'll be more than happy to address some of the stuff that you guys have got over there. I will occasionally be looking through and seeing what needs to be weeded out because it can get a little crowded. So if you suddenly see your post disappear, it's nothing personal. It's just, you know, trying to clean up stuff. And of course, also, while we're on, if you'd like to tweet at us, at me in particular, you can send the tweet over to at Shujin Tribble if you wanted to go to me specifically, or you can do at Holy Crap TV, and I will see those tweets come through. I'm using something called TweetDeck. Yes, TweetDeck, on Dallin's suggestion, which is taking a little bit of weirdness to get around, so whatever. So, let's see where we're going to get started on this one. Who, you know what, we'll go with the easy one. Who saw the twist coming? Who knew what the M. Night Shyamalan twist was going to be?
You were laying it on particularly thick.
Mm-hmm.
And having heard you go on these types of rants before, I kind of figured something was up. I wasn't sure where you were going with it, but I knew there would be something of a last minute. And I didn't know that you, I didn't think you were going to go ahead and call out the colander heads, but okay. Okay. You pulled the fast one on midair, shoe.
Well, I kind of figured it this way. Ninjas will be pirates most any day of the week. Most. Some, occasionally, once in a while. I don't know. It just felt like the right thing to do. Anyway, so...
You're missing the point. Who wins between ninjas and pirates?
It depends on who's got the longer legs to run faster.
Robots.
Not aliens.
Okay.
Robot ninjas.
Wait. I can do you one better. Aliens. I don't have enough.
You don't have enough Brillo hair. All right, so we're going to go ahead and hit on. Let me find that message. Unrenowned text message to me earlier, because like I said, he's got some personal life stuff that has to be taken care of. And Stephanie, don't worry, you're not bothering me. So thank you. Unrenowned Tech had gotten in touch with me to remind me that, you know, he's not going to be here. He's got stuff to do, but he wanted his item to go in here. What offends me, quote, "What offends me is when religious zealots try to create laws to impose their doctrine upon myself and others. Prime example, abortion." Now, I could be wrong. And I might need an expert opinion on this one. So, heretic woman, are abortion laws going to be affecting Unrenowned Tech specifically?
It could, as a man. I mean, it depends. That's a tough one. I don't know about laws. I think more it just offends him that kind of a decision is being forced on some people. I mean, in the States, it's pretty bad still. I mean, there are some states that there's only one place in the whole bloody state where you can get an abortion. And I'm sorry, that's not acceptable. And as far as a man goes, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm of the mind that if we had a way that a fetus could be gestated without a woman, then I would be all for a man being able to say, I want to take responsibility for the resulting child, and the woman can sign off and say, no, I don't want anything to do with it. And I think that would be more than fair. But unfortunately, the way science is right now, that just doesn't work. You can't do that, and I don't think it's fair to force a woman to gestate on anyone else's behalf. But, yeah, it's the idea, I mean, some of the states down there that keep coming up with these stupid laws that they say, ooh, it's to protect women. No, it's not to protect women. It's to restrict access, period. And the stupid thing to me is the idea that, well, if women know that they can't get abortions easily, they're just not going to get pregnant. Like, are you stupid? Do you know anything about sexuality and, you know, how people work?
what? Yeah.
Yeah, go right ahead, Chris.
Yeah, sure. The thing that I find very offensive on these things, about these states passing these anti-abortion laws, and this has come out as a meme and a joke on the internet, is that they don't give a rat's ass about the kid once it's born.
And that's true.
And many of these states, this is becoming literally true, because at the same time they're going for the anti-abortion laws, the very same people are attempting to pass laws that will allow people religious exemptions so they can kill the kids after they're born. Or let them die of neglect, on there, and it's absolutely insane.
And don't forget dissonance. Oh, sorry.
And if they really actually cared about this fetus or child or whatever, then you'd expect some consistency. you know, where they would actually give a shit after it's born.
And don't forget the cognitive dissonance where they're against sexual education, which leads to teen pregnancy.
And forget birth control, because, you know, that just tells everybody to go out and have sex everywhere, you know. Stupid.
Right. Which is
as far as I'm concerned, they just need a witch to burn.
Yeah, there's that. And, you know, the funny part of it is those prescriptions for Oxycontin are just an excuse for people to go ahead and just, you know, get high and leave their golden microphone behind in the studio or whatever the hell it is. Joey, come on, you've been quiet. I'm sure you got something you got to throw in here somewhere, because
I'm reading Jeremiah's post about you being a heretic and all that, and all I'm picturing is those memes that, you know, it's heresy intensifies. Warhammer. I never played it, but I love seeing the memes. They're just, it's funny. Anyway, I'm going to piss a lot of people off.
That's the point to me.
Eat the babies.
There you go.
Well,
baby helper, three cheese baby. Some of you know the joke.
We love you. Don't worry about it. We'll explain it all later. Some of our furry friends understand this one all too well. Yeah.
I'm probably going to. In all honesty, I'm probably going to piss some people off, because while I'm not directly addressing the matter that we were discussing, I'm going to express something that I feel that a lot of people have expressed offense at. And this is me being the offender here. I am a personal proponent of the idea that we as a species are too goddamn overpopulated. And part of that comes from the fact that, you know, we've gotten better at killing each other, but we've been doing it a lot less in the last, say, 50 years. I mean, you go back in history, we weren't very good at it, but we killed an awful lot of each other. We're no longer keeping ourselves in check that way, and, well, now you see the big mess that has resulted.
Yeah, but Joseph, I think the anti-vaxxers are trying to catch up with it.
Now, a lot of people have come up to me and said, well, what, you think we should just start selecting people for death? No. I just think that people need to stop fucking so much.
Go ahead.
I agree with half your point there. It's pretty much a fact that there is an unsustainable number of us for the way that we're behaving and the way we're treating the planet, and it ain't going to end well. Exactly how badly it's not going to end well is still up for debate, but it's a fact. It is not going to work out in the long run. Birth rates are falling in the developed world generally. Yes. But I think the birth control and education are the key, and, you know, giving people a situation in their life. And I think people need to, you know, keep on fucking as much, if not more, but just do so more carefully.
Precisely. And you know what? Who do we have to thank for that mess?
Because fucking is good.
Hey, Vatican. Yeah, thanks for that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing to do with that, by the way. Sorry, but a message came through on the Twitter feed, and I must share this. Uh-oh. The prophet Jeremiah is now apparently offended and has told me, in no uncertain terms, see if I'm going to listen again. So apparently, congratulations to us. We've had our first person say, screw you and your show.
I managed to piss off everybody.
Well, I don't know about everybody yet, but it's at least every good show starts with one person stepped on. I guess I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that one. I don't care. Rolandish, who is watching right now live, and thank you very kindly, has posted this in the Q&A. It could affect a loved one. Is anybody else remembering the story where it was a couple, fairly newlywed EMTs?
Mm-hmm.
The wife was pregnant and became vegetative, and the state said, oh, no, 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 no. You can't take her off life support, even if she is just meat at this point, because baby. Anybody else remember this one?
Oh, I do very well.
That was, what, maybe 2 years ago?
Not quite.
I think it was
maybe a year and a half-ish, I don't know, but a little while.
I'm a busy guy. I can't catch every bit of news.
That's all right. I forgive you. I mean, it's that metal plate and everything.
Hey, I'm very sensitive about that. Wait.
She didn't sell an antenna.
Yeah, she didn't get more news.
I think I just picked up a couple of AM stations.
That story pissed me off to no end. Especially when they said, look, the fetus is not viable. And it was Texas, I think. Stupid Texas. And they were just like, well, it's a fetus, so we have to, like, leave her poor body on life support forever and ever until they realize that no, this fetus was looking nothing like it was supposed to. It was never going to be viable in any way, shape, or form. Like, why on earth put a family through that? This is horrible.
Don't know. It made no sense to me whatsoever, especially when it made it even horrific. There's no other word for it. And Chris, I'm going to be coming over to you for this one afterwards. It was positively horrific to me when the analogy was made. What makes this any different from the science fiction movie, The Matrix? Chris, hold on a second. I'm bringing it over to you. The explanation was you have a pod that is artificially inducing life to continue to form. The woman's body was gone. There was nothing left brain-wise. But the pod had to continue to be operating to gestate the baby until they finally decided, oh, yeah, that's right, biology. How nuts do people really have to be to say, yeah, it's a meat puppet. Yeah, so what?
I don't know. I'm going to bow out on this one because I'm not familiar enough with the story, and I've not got my thoughts together on that. I may come back later in the show or another time on it, but for the moment, I just don't know.
You know what? This is... okay. Sidebar. Great. Now I'm starting to feel like Zach Morris over said, okay, time out. Hold on. This is part of the reason why I like doing this show. Seriously.
Mm.
We've said on many an occasion, we're lay people. We don't have all of the information. We ain't scientists by any stretch of the imagination. Hell, I have a hard enough time not speaking vulgar, which is my primary language, thanks to Brooklyn. But when we actually don't quite get the info, we're not going to go ahead and step into areas where we really shouldn't. I like that about us.
Well, I will. But that's just because I'm...
well, go for it, John.
I'm not going to here because I don't...
In order to make a joke, yeah, maybe you would. But I mean,
I need more information for this joke to continue.
That's fine. All right, so maybe I'm using a bad analogy on that one, but I'm hoping at some point or other some folks kind of get the idea of what that was. But as far as bodily rights, which is really where this all comes down to, we have Joey and I have a mutual friend who shall remain nameless, who helps out at. I forget exactly what we'd call it. A family planning clinic, I guess, is probably the best way of putting it. Okay. And she goes there as a front line of security shall we say. She goes and she assists people from the front door to the sidewalk and vice versa in order to keep the
crazies?
The picket crowd. Yeah, that's the best way that I can put it. And yeah, the crazies. The picket crowd away. We've seen some of these picketers before. Joe would know full well. In Pittsburgh, there is one place very near in downtown where we've seen these picketers with very disgusting signs. How about that? Picketing. Is picketing objectionable? Does picketing tip your meter? Is that something that offends you?
Picketing, no. People can state their opinions as much as they want for all I care.
What?
But when it gets to the point, there is such a establishment downtown here. I go by it every second Friday of every month. And they have had to literally paint a yellow line circling the front door to state, you know, picketers shall not cross this line. Just a few months ago, they had to repair their windows because people were tossing bricks through them. That's where I draw the line.
And
that's mobbing.
What bugs me with the picketing itself, I couldn't care less about. But when they stand there and hurl insults at people and, you know, don't kill your baby and all that kind of crap. And the thing is, places like Planned Parenthood, they offer a range of services. So they're screaming, don't kill your baby at some poor woman that just wants to go have a pap smear. Like, you know, that kind of crap I have issues with. And the fact that they even need to have someone escort people in the door of the place. Like, I would love to do that. We don't, thankfully, have a need for that service here because the government actually will pay for your abortion. Thank you very much. Yay for socialized medicine. But we have the hospital in town here that performs abortions. There's usually 3 to 5 really pathetic looking people standing with signs out there on any given day. One day I drove by and there was one little old lady standing in the rain with a sign, and I was like, really? And most people around here will honk at them and give them a finger when they go by. Like, that's generally the reception that they get. And if we had the kind of crap here that they did, that you guys have down there, I would be more than happy to volunteer to help some of these people through, and they would not like what I had to say to them, that's for sure.
Doesn't surprise me. Joey, you had something else you wanted to tag on that?
Well, it goes for pretty much all picketers in general, the ones who protest at places like that, Westboro Baptist Church, you know, I have no problem with you stating your issue in the context of a adult conversation with somebody who wants to listen to it. But when you are literally out there, when the language of your argument is that is intentionally incendiary, no. That is where it is no longer a justifiable conversation. And I don't care if one way or another you're offended by, you know, somebody else's activities. You don't take it out on other people that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And their message is one of cognitive dissonance. I mean, if their message was actually useful for something, I could understand maybe. But basically, they're just advertising for themselves.
Yeah. Before we go any much further, because we've had this happen every once in a while, and I've been trying to keep mindful of it. Before we go past it at this point, Joseph, would you be so kind as to briefly explain exactly what that term means?
Which Joseph, for starters?
He's referring to you.
Oh, okay. What term?
Cognitive dissonance.
Oh, okay. It's when you have two conflicting thoughts in your brain, and you feel quite happy stating them one after the other without any with any sense of remorse or without any sense of you don't feel there's anything wrong between the two. But I've come up with a term I call cognitive non-dissonance because, you know, in order to have two conflicting thoughts, you're not really thinking about it much, are you?
Well, that's pretty much what happens with the Catholics as far as I can recall. But, hey, you know, we pray to God's mommy, so, or at least that's the way it was all taught to me. Chris, first off, let me back it up a second. I would assume that you've heard the stories, the news reports and such of these kinds of things happening over on this side of the pond. Is there anything even close to that for you guys in England? Again, I ask it because I, to be perfectly honest, I am completely ignorant of a lot of these pieces.
Yeah, over here, unfortunately, we do also have the guy standing outside sort of pregnancy advice centers and women's clinics being utter arseholes. And they've got this weird doublespeak thing. I'm just looking through some of their interviews now about not wishing to cause offense and whatever. Yeah, they're out there with the posters to dismembered fetuses and harassing people. And there's sort of moves around to try and create some sort of formal buffer zone to, you know, at least keep some distance between them. And the premises, which is understandable. Again, it's one of the downsides of being in favour of free speech that I can't sort of, you know, sort of sanction not allowing these people to have their voice. I don't know if there's. I just wish you know, people would realise that there are ways in which you can make a point intelligently. And making an utter arse of yourself is not necessary, and deliberately going out and causing distress to another human being is not a good thing to do.
Yeah, and that's like, yes, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I'd just like to underline the fact that I'm really persuaded that their entire goal is just advertising. I mean, they've just taken a quote-unquote hot-button issue or an emotional issue, and they're just targeting that because they know they're going to get a reaction.
Yeah, very much so.
What irritates me too is the ones that are out there. Well, don't kill your baby. Okay, who's going to pay for that? If that woman changes her mind, who's going to pay for that child? Who's going to provide for it? Who's going to give it what she is saying basically she cannot do? Are you going to step up and do it? Because I spent years debating anti-abortion people online, and I have met one woman who said that, yes, when we talked her out of the abortion, we adopted the baby, one of them. And until they are willing to do a damn thing for those kids, they have no right to say anything. Well, they have a right to their opinion and their voice, but they should not be trying to convince people to go back on a decision that they're not willing to help with.
Personally, if their behavior is any indication of their character, I don't think they'd be suitable candidates for being adopted parents.
No.
Yeah, and I would fully agree with that.
On anyone.
Yeah, what I was going to say was one of the placards that I remember specifically seeing a couple of years ago was the big poster showing a
mutilated.
Yeah, that's the only the only way that I can describe it. Yeah. Because there are a number of horrific terms, mm-hmm. very uncomfortable terms that could be used for it. But it was a mutilated corpse of a fetus. And unfortunately, as was mentioned, it's exactly that kind of appeal to emotion that truly disgusts me.
Yep.
Because and I'm pretty sure that it would be the same thing for anybody else. If you went to a veterinarian's office and you held picket signs of dogs or cats that had been skinned alive, hung from their ankles, and kept telling these people, don't allow your pets to end up like this, what the hell would people think of you?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Well, and the worst thing about those particular images is a lot of the time they're doctored. They are not what they are purporting to be. They are stillborns and all kinds of things that are not what they are trying to get away with saying that it's an aborted fetus.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of them, they will blow up the picture to make it look like it could have been a full-term fetus when it was barely, you know, it barely had limbs and digits, you know. It's completely dishonest what they do with that.
And a lot of these pictures are dissections, actually. They're for pictures that were taken for medical purposes for students.
Sort of, yeah, like autopsy photos or...
Yeah. They're almost never an actual aborted fetus.
Yeah. Yeah. I've also seen them using a lot of images of pregnant women at sort of 8 months plus.
Yes.
And abortions in that situation are so vanishingly rare, you know.
Exactly.
And images that have been sort of doctored to exaggerate, like the fetus's foot sort of kicking through the abdominal wall on there, which, again, reading up, is only something that you'd see like at 8 months plus. So these people are utterly dishonest and despicable.
Yeah.
And what's worse about it is that it's win-win for them, because first off, they get the advertising. If they stop you from having the baby, then they've managed to infringe on your rights. They've won there too. And if you do have the baby and you can't afford to keep it, well, maybe it's going into a foster home and, well, more fodder for indoctrination.
Yeah. Joey, I know that you kind of bounced around on this one. I know it's... Did this pass?
What, well, just to show how polluted my mind is, when he was talking about the whole, you know, schoolroom dissections and such, my memory just immediately went back to high school with the frog, and one of the guys had actually picked it up and started doing the, hello, my baby, hello, my honey. I'm like, sorry, it just... This is how my mind works. It's not always a good thing.
No, and now see, here's... Okay. I'm actually going to springboard off of that in just a second. Katie, also watching live, had posted in the Q&A, but don't even think about taking away Viagra. I just want to put thing on there real quickly, because I want to use that springboard that you're using for me right now, setting up for me right now. The disparity between men and women, as far as the medical stuff has been concerned, reproductive rights itself, I don't know can be considered offensive, but it is reprehensible what my gender has gone ahead and done in my country, where you can have a panel of 29 people all deciding on whose rights, what laws should be in place regarding female reproduction, Oh, yeah, we should really add a woman on the panel, shouldn't we? Yeah, I guess we should really do that. Which, in any other time and place, if you'd have moved, you'd have people in an uproar. Oh, yeah, we should probably try to figure out whose civil rights should go through and whatnot. We should probably just get a nigger on the panel so that we can have some semblance of stuff. And yeah, I use the word. You know why? For exactly that reason. Your reaction, your uncomfortableness, if it was the 60s, it would have been normal. And we touched about this last time. You're squirming because it's weird and it doesn't feel right? Good. It shouldn't feel right. To use what my uncle said about smoking, it's a dirty, stinking habit. Don't you ever do it. Fortunately, we're kind of getting past all that. Now, the springboard that you were throwing at me, Joe, without knowing about it, black humor.
Okay.
Black humor. That's where we're going at this point, because why the hell not? You were in the military.
We're not talking blackface here, no.
No. You were in the military. How much was black humor necessary to get through the day? Every day. There you go. Moving along.
Oh, dear. Oh. Private, you hit that guy? Yes, I did, Sergeant. What color were his eyes? Blue, Sergeant. How could you tell? Because one blew that way, one blew that way.
Now, does that qualify as offensive? Well, I guess that really depends now, doesn't it?
Probably to somebody somewhere.
Sure. Well, it isn't offensive to the guy that's no longer with us, but is a big red mist. But again, that's black humor. You know what? Yeah. Back it up a second. Joseph, let me ask you, because I do not know. Do you have any folks who that you know of, friends, family, who are in high-stress environments, military, paramilitary, medical, or anything like that?
Me?
Yes. Yeah.
No, I don't know anybody. My brother is a pastor, and my family's pretty comfortable.
Well, you're going to be real boring on this one. Okay, Chris, sorry. How about you? High stress, anybody that you know of who happens to be in?
No. I do know some ex-police officers and ex-military people, but we've never really gone into that kind of thing. So, again, but black humor or gallows humor is... not just restricted to those kinds of environments.
You know,
find it in just about anywhere, and sometimes it is just a way of dealing with something pretty awful. And it will occasionally make the news that someone said something rather crass and insensitive as part of, you know, black humor as an everyday thing at work, and it gets blown out of all proportion. And just because you make some joke that's a bit off doesn't mean that you're any less good at your job, or that, you know, you don't actually care about the people that you're dealing with. It's just a sort of a normal human thing.
Yeah. Yeah, Joey.
Well, just so that we can clarify, because, you know, we've only touched on the whole military thing. Black humor isn't just that. You've all experienced black humor at some point, if you're not familiar with the term. After all, one of the classic black humor jokes. Hate me if you want to. How many Jews can you fit in a Volkswagen? Or how do you fit 100 Jews in a Volkswagen? Pardon.
I think you just answered your own question.
No. I messed it up the first time. How do you fit 100 Jews in a Volkswagen?
No idea.
4 in the seats and 96 in the ashtray.
Ooh.
That's black humor. Is it nice? No. But you got to admit, there was some part of you that giggled a little bit. that deep down part of your lizard brain that hisses at you all the time, there was something in there that giggled a little bit.
And the reason why black humor is a necessity, there's no other word for it, is because the enormity of the actual situation is chilling to think about. I mean, dissecting the joke for a second, which normally you're not really supposed to do that, but you know what? Screw it. I don't care. Nick Morgan-Moore can stick up for me later. Yeah, right. The enormity of what happened for World War II to the Jews in Europe is positively chilling. It is nearly unfathomable. It is almost impossible for me to believe that somebody from the British military intelligence intentionally got himself picked up in France, intentionally to get put into these camps, intentionally helped these people out, intentionally escaped, and then was not believed back home when he finally arrived back with, oh, it can't possibly be as bad as all that, you're just exaggerating. I would tend to believe that it would be hard to believe, to excuse me for screwing it up that way, but why would we make jokes about something so horrific? Well, for exactly that reason. How the hell can you put a face on something like that? How can you deal with something properly like that without thinking, oh my, how can anybody be that reprehensible to go through with something like that? The only way to really deal with it is just to say, you know what? It's the same as going through laughter fits or sneezing fits or shivering fits after you've almost been in a fight or have been in a fight and you got to blow off steam somehow or other because you're just completely overwhelmed. Sometimes it's because you're a bad person and you just want to make fun at somebody. Sure, that can happen. But jokes like this, with the intention of not degrading, but to just diffuse and blow off steam, has its place. And unfortunately, it is something that can be offensive. And sometimes that's a necessity.
It's just disconnecting yourself from the normal emotional response you're supposed to have.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And for anybody that doesn't know about that particular story from World War II, I've forgotten what the gentleman's name was, but it was a real event. Guy did intentionally get picked up, was intentionally put into the camps to find out what was going on and to report back, and was not believed. I've forgotten who it was, but I do remember the story. But that's a whole other thing for another time. We can kind of talk that through later. Jeremiah, who I'm assuming posted this question before he decided to rage quit on us a little while ago. I'm sorry, by the way.
Did he rage quit?
You know what? I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that, yeah, he did.
Well, maybe if we called him the prophet Jeremiah, that would help, because he is a prophet.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's okay. Okay, so the profitable Jeremiah had said, real question, as opposed to my facetious other ones,
non-profitable.
Sure, yeah, we'll go with that one. His question is, have you guys seen hate speech laws negatively affect society even when they are in principle set up to eliminate bigotry and hate, etc.? I can't say that I have, but I will go out on a limb and say I don't like the idea of hate speech laws. I find them completely antithetical to... Whoa, time out. Did I actually just pronounce that properly and use it in the sentence properly? Holy crap. All right. Antithetical.
I'm going to get gold stars from the...
Gold... One for me. There we go. To the idea of our First Amendment in the U.S. where you're not supposed to stop legal speech, I guess is probably one of the better ways of putting it, which then makes that particular speech wrong. Because, briefly, Have you just written a law that says that the KKK are not allowed to speak their mind? Because I would like to hear the KKK speak so that I can actually prove to somebody later that, yeah, I'm ignoring them for a good reason.
So, you can laugh.
Or you can laugh. Or you can do what some other groups have done. And, hey, they want to go ahead and they want to host a parade? Sure, I'll go visit the parade. And like the Klingons, I will turn my back on them as they pass.
Oh, even better was the town that arranged a pledge drive to support LGBT rights based on how far they marched.
There you go.
I thought that was pretty awesome.
That was a good one. Okay, so to go with the question then, have we seen hate speech laws negatively affect society? I myself have not, but like I said, I'm giving you my thought on that one.
We actually do have hate speech laws in Canada, which I don't agree with. There have been people prosecuted under them. For the most part, they've been pretty nasty, despicable people that were prosecuted under them. I don't think that those cases have caused any major issues yet, but I could see it being a problem. I mean, you know, somebody could say that something I've said about anti-religion could be hate speech. I don't think any of it falls under that, but somebody could be a douche and decide to say that I do. Then, you know, that could be a problem. Most of the stuff that's been, and it's been a while, I think, since anybody's been prosecuted, but it's been usually anti-LGBT things and anti-Semitic things. So I know there was a guy at West, 20-odd years ago now, who was going around passing out literature saying that the Holocaust was a hoax and it never happened and all of that, and he was told that he could not print those things. And I like I say, for the matter of free speech, I have a problem with limiting that, because then it's not free speech. Free speech means that you allow the nasty shit along with the good shit, and you leave it up to everyone else to cause the consequences, because there is consequences. It just doesn't have to be legal consequences. You know, if somebody is walking around saying, you know, well, I know Beth's favorite, to kill all the LGBT people, then the consequence should be, oh, you know what? We're going to ostracize you. If you have a business, we're not going to patronize you. That kind of thing. That's how you deal with speech that is abhorrent, but you don't legalize it away, in my opinion, anyway.
And I find it kind of disturbing that everybody's persuaded that people are so easily affected. I mean, if somebody's putting out Holocaust denial pamphlets or something, are people really just going to believe them?
No, that was the thing, too. Because I remember, I mean, he did have a very small following, if memory serves, but he was like a national laughing stock. I don't know, you might even remember this, Joseph, because I think that was back when you were still here. He was like, everybody was like, what a dumbass. But we still prosecuted him for hate speech. And
That's what should happen. But I think, especially in an environment where people have been brought up in to be religious, maybe they can be affected by that. I find that kind of worrying.
Yeah, that's possible, but
if you're going to obey one nonsensical thing, why? What's keeping you from obeying another?
Well, they already do. I mean, look at how many people are believing the anti-GMO and anti-vax crap.
Yeah, exactly.
But we still, I mean, I would never advocate telling anti-vaxxers that they can't speak.
I wasn't advocating that. I was just saying it's worrying that...
Absolutely. But I don't think there's a good solution to that yet.
Yeah.
My only issue is, you know, and same thing with the with pretty much anybody who's got some kind of opposing view to any of these matters that we've discussed throughout the year that we've been on this show. I welcome opposition. I welcome debate. But two things have to be addressed. One, in the case of like the anti-vaxxers and the GMO folks, get your facts straight.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be spitting out lies, no, I don't think you deserve the right. You do not reserve the right to spread misinformation.
Well, now see, there's a big old problem on that one, which is actually, you know what? We'll have to hold that one over for another time because there's a big bunny hole on that one, and I don't want to go jumping down that one at the moment. There's a lot of pieces about all that. Unfortunately, it's.
Well, here's a question I have for everybody.
Sure.
When's the last time you offended someone? What's the most recent offense you've had with someone?
Apparently, about 20 minutes ago, when I pissed off Jeremiah. So
well, okay, I've got a good
start on this all.
I would say that was going to be Friday afternoon, probably. It was a bit quiet at work, and we'd had a discussion actually fairly along these lines. It started when one of my colleagues, swore or said something, and then sort of apologized and was saying how she didn't want to cause offense to anyone. Sorry, I'm just trying to remember how it started. And I happened to chime in that, you know, why should you really care if you cause offense to someone? Pretty much whatever you say, there's someone somewhere is going to potentially take offense to it. And that was all fine. And then someone said, "Hey, what can we say, whatever we want?" And I said, "Yeah, pretty much." And I happened to use the example of, was it Amadeh Chowdhury, the lunatic Islamic preacher that we've had going around in London, and one of my Muslim colleagues wasn't overly happy with that, not understanding I picked him as an example, particularly because he was a lunatic. I did give several others from, you know, non-Muslim examples as well, and said probably the best thing to do with these people is allow them to speak. Allow them to look ridiculous, and then point and laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not lock them up or fine them or whatever.
I don't know. I don't know when I've knowingly offended someone or where I've been told I offended someone, but with any luck, I offend someone every week when I do my show. That would be good. And hopefully last week, because we talked all about Islam, so there if any Muslims were listening, hopefully they were very offended.
Just the fact that people are so unsure of their minds, they need to protect it, you know, against hearing anything, that they're so fragile. I mean,
I am so glad you touched on that, Joseph. I'm so glad.
And it goes the other way that people are so unsure of or don't have the confidence to say what they're thinking or feeling and because they've got concerns about offending someone.
Well, or the idea, like, for instance, blasphemy laws. Hello, how weak is A, your faith, and B, your supposed God, if words are going to throw them into a tizzy like that?
Like, and it's supposed to be the answer for everything.
Yeah. So a little bit of blasphemy shouldn't bother anybody who has some balls. That's the way I look at it.
And Joseph, Joey,
Joseph's got it there. Joey's got it there.
Yeah, Joey's got it. I offended you. What does it feel like to be so weak that mere words hurt you? And yet it's this photo meme is on the picture of a...
I think that's supposed to be Odin.
Sure. Well, just, yeah, we'll just go with
that. Generic Viking. Technically.
Badass Viking dude. Right. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, that looks like a replica of the Sutton Hoo helmet, so yeah.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remind myself now, too. It's something that's visual. I've completely forgotten that there's an audio component shortly.
I keep forgetting about that,
too. We'll have to have a described video for that.
Or something like that. Yeah,
we'll have it in Braille.
Oh, yeah, that's going to work.
I am sorry. To all the blind folks that I have just offended.
And that's a segue into when you were talking about black humor, I was thinking of Helen Keller jokes.
Yes.
of which there are plenty. And fortunately, she doesn't really complain about them because she's dead. So there it is.
Son of a...
There were some good Helen Keller jokes to do with the whole dress thing I saw, too.
Do you know what it feels like to have beer go up your nose? You bastard.
No idea. No idea.
I missed that.
You're a retroactive bastard. Thank you very much.
No, no, not you. French bastard. The toad sucker.
The cheese-eating surrender monkey.
Yeah. Oh, that brings up another good one.
God, here it comes.
That's right, folks. For sale, here and only. Get your authentic French World War II weapons. Only dropped once.
Well, there was the fake Google page of if you search French military victories, and it would say, did you mean French military defeats?
And we
that's
joke
okay.
about
the French. But Joseph's really a Canadian anyway, so, you know.
We joke about the French, and they're probably going to want my head on a pike for this. And we've seen your history. We know how it goes. But with all due respect, they do have quite the different history as far as military goes. It just happened to be they got caught on the short end in recent history.
Well, yeah, up until then it was pretty good. I mean, they kept England busy for a long time.
That's true. They concentrated.
I mean, how many times can you fight over Calais, really?
Well, I don't know. Do you have a contingent of cats? In which case, it could be 9 times.
Well, we only have 5, so.
Yeah, so you pissed off the cat lovers now.
So, question.
Yes.
Since we touched on it just ever so slightly, here's a question for y'all. How long did the Hundred Years' War last?
It was longer than 100 years. It was not 100 years.
I'm going to go with $1, Bob.
Win.
Look it up, people. It's 116, but...
Yeah, I knew it was more than 100 years. Oh, what year did the War of 1812 finish?
After the White House was burned, okay? Are you proud now? Are you happy now? Really?
Freaking Canadians.
Do it again.
No, I don't. Those Canadians, they're too nice, they're too quiet, and they live right above us.
Just, you know, the War of 1812 was concluded in 1814.
When did it start?
Just 2 weeks before.
It took 2 years to burn the White House?
No,
just 2 weeks before. That's a big price.
Jackson. Ran out of matches?
Yeah. Maybe they had trouble finding it because...
We kept running out of Yankees to throw on the fire. I don't know.
In 1814, we took a little trip along the...
When you're married to a guy from the South, don't ever call him a Yankee.
Just what are you referring to the South? Because South is pretty broad encompassing for you.
He was from Richmond. Ooh. From that South. And up here, all of you are Yankees. So, yeah, I'm like, blah, 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 you Yankees. I'm not no Yankee. You don't call us Yankees.
Really, really want to insult him. You could call him Carpetbagger and see what happens at that point.
Ooh, yeah.
Now I would, but... Yes, for those of you that don't understand the term, look it up. It was not nice in some respects, but it's an old
term. You have offended me, good sir.
I am not a good
sir. Dawn.
Okay. So, Rolandish had also put another question in that I wanted to specifically hit on. It's not exactly a question, but... Oh, come on. Trolling has its place. Mockery has its place. Now, funny enough, I want to have Beanie and Cecil from Cognitive Dissonance on the show with us sometime in the near future. Or Cecil, whatever the hell his name is. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Because for... let me back up a second.
I'll tell them that when I see him next month.
you tell him that. What I actually want to do is I want to have Noah and Heath from Scathing Atheist, Cecil and Beanie from Cognitive Dissonance on with us to intentionally talk through exactly that issue. How far should you go in talking about a lot of these issues? Not necessarily the news stories and giving opinions on that, but really pushing back against people that want to say, you need to listen and believe what I believe because insert stupid reason over here, number 43. I don't know, it doesn't really much matter.
Because obey.
Yes, exactly. And I'm not going to pull up the stylized picture of Celestia that says obey on it, okay? Just know that you've got it in your own damned heads. Screw you,
Joe.
Never seen that. Screw you, Joe.
Okay.
You're welcome. Anyway, so how far should we troll? How far should we mock? I mean, where is the line that you shouldn't, and I use air quotes, shouldn't cross? Joey, you sound like you're ready to go ahead on that one right away.
Well, I was just going to say, don't ask me because I could say things that would have your Chair Force brother coming after me in a heartbeat.
Great. Wonderful. That's
my point. That's my point. And, Rolandish has a very valid point. I mean, come on.
Yep.
We in the military, regardless of our – we've touched on this in recent weeks, but regardless of what service we're in, we're always in the habit of busting the balls of somebody from another service. Even though we have that brotherhood and camaraderie – we bust their balls because, well, it's what you do to your brother, right? When you were growing up with – if you were blessed enough to have siblings, you know that you pick on each other all the time. It's the same thing. It's all about camaraderie.
Well, and I would say I love trolling and definitely mockery. I like mockery too. I would draw the line at children, so I wouldn't...
So you're not a Catholic, then?
Yeah.
Don't forget, she's also a female, so that kind of takes that completely out of the sails, too. You know that.
But, I would draw the line at things that would potentially be harmful to children, but as far as adults go... Get your grown-up panties on, people, and suck it the hell up. If you're going to have beliefs that are open to mockery, then you better be able to take it.
That's not a matter of how far I go so much with me, but where I'll go. I generally think that mocking the afflicted is unsporting. on there, and you know, taking the Mickey for out of someone for that they've something that they've got no control over, people with like learning disabilities or whatever, it has no benefit or whatever. But if it's someone that's made made a choice or has not done put in, say, any due diligence or looking into what they're spouting, be it religious, be it like alternative quackery medicine, God knows whatever other bullshit of the week that they come out with, then yeah, it's all fair game as far as I'm concerned.
Stupid ideas are just, for me, are just begging to be made fun of.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And stupid ideas that become law even more so.
And honestly, kind of building on what I had mentioned earlier, even if you don't have that sort of situation between you and the person that's being offended, that there's that camaraderie involved, like, say it's just a stranger, somebody that you know enough about a certain situation. Good example. This past week, Tuesday it was, I was sitting at the school that I currently go to. It's an arts college, so there's a lot of liberal-minded individuals there. You would imagine, and as you can imagine, there are quite a few vegans. Well, I'm sitting in the lobby, and somebody who I happen to know was a vegan was sitting fairly close by watching me eat a chicken sandwich. And of course, they're looking me in that tone of voice. And I just look over and I'm like, huh, what? They're like, meat is murder. I love it when they do that, because I, of course, respond with, and murder tastes pretty damn good, doesn't it?
Which, but you can go ahead. Finish that off, yeah.
Well, the thing is, yes, I was riling them a little bit, but at the same time, they took it as a joke and they laughed, because at the same time, they recognized the fact that I was recognizing their view enough to joke about it.
Mm-hmm.
Which in itself does have a term, even though it doesn't seem like it, it does have a bit of respect to it. I respect their life choice and that they've chosen to be this way. And I don't agree. And we agree to disagree.
Yeah. But being a vegan is sort of a perfectly valid position regarding eating meat, because whenever you eat meat, yeah, something has to die. I choose to eat meat, but I can understand the reasoning and the logic of people that choose not to.
Seeing that we all have pretty fair cheeks, I think I can generally safely say that all of us here are at the very least of the omnivorous variety.
I had some nice bacon this afternoon.
Oh, I'm going to have so much bacon next weekend. Which, by the way, since you were talking about...
absolutely haram.
Since you were talking about eating meat, I don't know if I exactly qualified when the little one and I were having frozen White Castle hamburgers, but anyway, I just wanted to... make sure I got that in there.
That makes me so sad.
Yeah, I know. It's what are you going to do? I mean, you
hit them when they're frozen.
You use the microwave and you hope to hell that the shotgun blast that went through the cow that got you the five little holes in there went through properly.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. This is one
that gets me on the veganism vegetarian issue. It's not the vegans or the vegetarians. That's fine. What gets me is people that eat meat but are unwilling to face the fact that what you're eating is dead animal.
Yeah.
And
I had a summer job in a slaughterhouse when I was a kid, so.
That's an education.
Yeah.
We kept chickens when I was young, and those obviously had to be periodically dispatched. Did game shooting, whatever, and I've seen animals killed and butchered, and after all that, I'm fine with eating them. But I think if that you can't face up to the reality of what you're doing, maybe you should reconsider whether you should be doing it or not.
Mm-hmm. There's two pieces about this I need to hit on. Item number one, anybody that wants to go ahead and say that they don't kill in order to live themselves obviously don't know what's happening at the cellular level in their body every moment of every day that they are alive. Thank you for having an immune system. And item number two, and Joey can attest to this, if there's one thing that we've learned from our time hanging out with Witchy Bunny, if there's one thing in Minecraft you'd never want to do is to set up a chicken farm machine, because very, very quickly you end up with lots and lots and lots of chickens. Some people know what we're talking about if you've ever built one in Minecraft. I'm sorry. It's an inside joke. I'm sorry. I know. I'm sorry. I'm a bad person for that. But on a side tangent on this one, Prophet Jeremiah had also put in here to go along with the question. In other words, where does offense become bullying? Mm-hmm. Joey's example of somebody coming over and harassing you on their own about something that you're doing that they disapprove of, in my book, that is bullying.
Yeah. Yeah,
don't just say yeah and just leave it there. Come on, keep going. I've got time to kill.
And the thing is, offense has to be taken. And somebody, I think, posted that earlier, too. So offense is the person who's decided that they're going to be offended by whatever has been done or said. You're taking that onto yourself. That other person is not necessarily doing anything deliberate, per se. But bullying is also an intimidation, and it's a means to an end. They either want to put fear or terror onto the other person, or force them to change their mind or change their behavior. And being offensive, we may want people to change their behavior, but we're not trying to openly force them to do it. Mm. Through fear and intimidation, and that to me is the line.
See, the way I see it is, bullying, physically or verbally, bullying is damage. Mm-hmm. Offending someone, whether they're offended or not, it does not damage them. It might make them think, for good or for worse. Bullying is where you are, from a non-physical standpoint, bullying is where you are going out of your way to upset that person's psychological wellness. That is damaging to that person.
And let me tack onto that a little bit further, because I don't think that you've got the completion onto this one.
Go ahead.
Bullying is intended to alter someone else's action or thinking. No, I'm not saying this right. I know what it is that I'm trying to get across, and I don't know how to put it.
This is bullying is generally an effort to instill fear or distress in someone else, where through like mockery or through reason or through other approaches, you can attempt to change someone's behavior or thought processes in a good way.
We're talking the difference between hiding around a corner and then as somebody's coming around going, boo!
Mm-hmm.
And it's a difference between that and, you know, them coming around the corner and you all of a sudden sucker punching them in the face. That's the kind of difference we're looking at here.
What bothers me in all this is that none of it is rational. I mean, it's purely emotional. I mean, it's people affecting each other through emotion. There's no thought at all behind it. I mean, somebody would actually think about something someone would say would not be offended.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing, too, with bullying, what was I going to say now? I had it right there.
I'm sorry. I dropped out for a second, so I might have interjected after.
No. Bullying, while you may see it as I want to get them to change their thought or behavior, the seat of bullying is not about changing anything. It's about power and control. And so couching that in, I want to make that person change how they're behaving. You may even think that that's your goal, but in reality, if you're actually bullying someone, you're more interested in power and control.
King of the hill.
Yeah.
Very much so. And Katie, good night, hon. You take care of yourself. Thank you very much for hanging out with us. I appreciate that. And yes.
I think quite a good example on this one over here is our great friends, the Jehovah's Witnesses. They've taken recently to setting up little stands on the streets with a Jesus-y poster or whatever, and handing out books to anyone that asks for them. But they don't go out and approach anyone. They're just sort of there, giving out their stuff. And occasionally, I'll take a pamphlet to see what the latest bullshit is. But I won't go and harass them. The Mormons, on the other hand, that I meet, that actually come up and try and directly impose their bullshit on me personally.
Corner you even.
Oh, corner me, yeah. Fair game.
With a big smile on their face.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care because they've chosen to impose themselves on me. As far as I can see, trying to bully me. And so whatever they get.
And they can get you even after your fault debt. Then.
Oh, man. It's one of the things that makes me wish for an afterlife so I could just come back and haunt those bastards.
Well, you know what, if Houdini couldn't do it, I'm pretty sure that you've got a very low chance on this one, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But quick question from Katie. I know that you are probably gone at this point, and I'm sorry, hon. I was wanting to get to this one, but before we see about wrapping up in a couple moments. But what if you have a person or persons yelling racial slurs at a group of young children? Now, this is interesting because we can use this one and tie into what you were saying. Who remembers what the Mormons used to say about the people with different colored skin? I remember.
Dark and loathsome.
Sons of... Oh, which one? Tradition. Yeah.
Sons of Perdition.
Is it Nephi or is it the other one?
No, it was the... Lamanites.
The Lamanites.
The Lamanites.
But they were dark and loathsome.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the children of Ham were the ones who had the mark of God because they saw Moses. Was it Moses?
Saw him
naked because he got himself all in a drunk haze and didn't know what was going on, and he went to sleep naked, so it was an accident. Joey,
Sons of Cain, because of how God marked him to walk the earth.
Sure.
Which might also make them be kind of vampires as well.
No. Those are from Judas Iscariot.
Sure. So what do we think about people yelling racial slurs at a group of young children? Sure, no problem. I don't know about anybody else, but I find them laughable.
Because really, that's all you got. Racial? I've got a different color skin. You know what? I got news for you. In the summer, when the sun is hot, is actually coming in my window more, and it's not just the fluorescent lights, I actually get a tan, and I look more swarthy than normal.
Yeah.
And I keep a tan for about 2 years, but neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Tan? What's that?
Yeah. You remember who you're talking to, right? I'm a third generation here. I spent 8 years crawling through the deserts and still haven't gotten a tan.
Well, that's just because you burst into flames, you little limey over there. I'm sorry, speaking of limeys, Chris, yeah, what?
Yeah, this is a different thing than free speech. All covered by that, the hate speech laws. This is... I'd imagine not being a lawyer or whatever would come under any number of public order type offensives, threatening behavior, possibly in some jurisdictions under something like an assault.
Yeah. This is where if the slurs in question are directed at the children in such a way that, you know, they are speaking of the children, say, you know, there's a group of Asian children and somebody's let's see, what are some of the slurs? Slants, kikes,
chink,
whatever.
Chink. Sure.
That falls under what I was describing earlier, where you're intentionally going out of your way to damage this person's psychological wellness. Worst of all, a developing individual.
Yeah.
You are trying to see in their mind, and we have seen this historically. You are trying to see in their mind the idea that they are somehow subhuman to you.
And I don't think free speech means freedom to say your speech to anyone you want to. Because your right ends at, well, my ears in this case. So for them, yes, you can say racial slurs, but to say them to... obviously, ethnic children would be a line that shouldn't be crossed because you don't have a right to say it to those individuals necessarily. You can stand on a street corner and scream it all you want, but you can't go and seek out someone to intentionally, as Joey was saying, to cause them psychological harm.
Even standing on a street corner screaming... if you're literally screaming through a bullhorn or whatever, hate speech laws are not necessary for this. Again, it's
a good example for these.
Causing a fucking nuisance.
A good example for these. The difference between being offensive and bullying.
Mm.
Say I'm on the radio.
You're on the radio.
I'm saying all kinds of horrible things that you just can't stand to listen to.
So, Howard Stern.
Yeah. You got that little dial there. I'm either off or you're listening to somebody else. With the proselytizers on the streets, you can hear them. You can also walk away. And you can choose to ignore them. The people who are bullying are the people who are going out of their way to force it down your throat, who are pursuing you, or have you somehow entrapped in some way, like, you know, say the kids are in the schoolyard. They can't necessarily leave the schoolyard. They're at the school. They're supposed to be there. And if there's nobody there to catch on what's going on, and they say, okay, children, time to go back inside, that's what I qualify as bullying.
There was an interesting case come up recently that I heard about some woman that was arrested and charged, I'm not sure exactly what with, but she was running around a residential street late at night screaming very loudly about Jesus consistently for like a period of weeks or months or whatever.
Maybe she was just looking for a lawnkeeper.
And possibly.
No, you're not.
Hold on.
But yeah, yeah, she was using the free speech and the freedom of religious expression things as a defense in here, and was, I think, basically told that that won't wash because you're actually going outside people's houses where they have a sort of a right to be going about their business and sort of screaming loudly. If it's in a public place, like a park or a town square or something like that, it's probably different.
All right, so we're getting pretty close onto wrapping up over here. So I want to finish us off with something that has become a bit of an issue for folks because of news, and it came to my attention much more than normal because I saw a video. I don't remember why it came through. It might have come through on my Facebook feed. And it featured Ann Coulter. Mm-hmm. For those that are unfamiliar with her, she is...
You're not missing much.
A despicable excuse for a human being.
You know, I'm gonna go out on a limb. If you have sensitive ears, I would suggest that for the next 5 seconds, you put this show on mute or take out your earbuds now. She's a cunt. Okay, now that you're back, she was in a talk at a libertarian group, liberals group. I forget exactly what it was, with and shoot, I've forgotten who the hell it was because I'm just saw it earlier today. I saw parts of it. But Ann Coulter was questioned about her position on same-sex marriage. And her answer to why is it a problem, why does it affect you, why don't you want same-sex people to get married, her answers were, to put it mildly, unsatisfying. When she was asked why don't you want same-sex couples to get married, her answer was, "Well, they can, just not to the same sex
as what they are." Yeah, I've heard that one before.
Which was positively horrendous to me. I was offended, and the reason for it was that I was listening to this woman being completely unapologetic in saying, my religious ideals need to be respected because we need to respect all. So you need to respect mine.
Well, I don't like the fact that we're giving her airtime, because I mean, she's an increasingly desperate troll. That's basically all she is.
That's the reason why I wanted to specifically mention. Because somebody with these kinds of positions, who has a place where she can put it out there, granted, in the echo chamber that is Fox News. Am I pronouncing that correctly? F-A-U-X, Fox?
Is that, yes. Is that right?
That's correct.
Foo news.
Yeah, it doesn't really work here in France, but anyway.
Well, yeah, they're not. Now, where is it? As I recall, real quick sidebar on this one. As I recall, in Heretic Woman in Canada, they're not allowed to broadcast because they're not actually reporting news, which is a necessity for news programs up there. Yay.
I think on cable you can get it.
No.
Yeah,
I can't wait
to
get HBO, too.
We do, on cable. If you get it, like, it's weird, because Fox, we get Fox in all different areas. So when I had cable, we got a Fox station through Buffalo.
Yeah, well, that, yeah, local Fox broadcast is different from Fox News.
Okay. It might be available on cable, but I don't recall ever seeing it when I had cable.
Okay, well, whatever. Anyway, so the point of bringing it up is there are people who offend our sensibilities because of the position that they hold. So the question is, there are a number of people who are like this, and we can name a whole bunch of them. Her, I'm going to leave it at that. Santor, for another one. George W. for various reasons.
By the way,
comes to mind.
But just the majority of the Republicans, we'll just go there.
Okay. Joe, you were about to...
I was just going to have a little bit of a sidebar moment. Jeb, give it up, okay?
Yeah.
Your family's had two goes. No. Just...
I saw a meme today. I had a picture of the three of them. And it said, mental illness is when you keep doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome.
It's like watching evolution in reverse.
Yeah.
So the question now that I want us to close off on at this point is, why do we find these people and their position, I don't know if it's two pieces or if it's one, as offensive as we do? I've got my answer in my own head, and I'm gonna keep it for my closing piece of it all. But who? Yeah, Joey, you look like Shatner right about now, ready to go ahead and pounce on this.
There's something on the wing. Look, at this point.
You got that reference too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And my take on it is that it's because there's no damn sense to it. There's no logical reasoning behind it. Even with a joke like, you know, how do you fit 100 Jews into a Volkswagen? There's a logical process that has to go on for you to be able to comprehend and get the joke. Miss Coulter's reasoning is faulted beyond.
There is no reason.
Repair.
No.
And that is where I find the offense to my senses being rooted. The whole idea of we have to respect everyone, so you have to respect my views, which don't respect you.
And all that says to me is that most people just don't think, they react.
Mm-hmm.
It's twofold. I don't want to go into a rant about critical thinking, but I mean, you know, religion has set things up so that people don't think about they don't question in general, and that's what our society is based on.
Heretic woman, you want your shot on this one too?
Well, as far as what offends me right now, the thing I find the most offensive to me is Saudi Arabia.
Funny, that's going to factor in for me too.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Probably not quite for the same reason, but by all means.
Did you see they put out a press release today claiming that they couldn't understand why the international media was saying such horrible things about them because they were among the first nations to espouse human rights.
Yeah, sorry.
I I'm just like, huh?
They said human rights. That should have a positive reaction.
Oh, and even better, their human rights come from Islam. I was like, you know what? You need to go back and smoke your hookah some more because you ain't got the right shit in there.
Wait. There's only one way to continue after that. You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Fair enough.
Oh, yeah.
Chris, you get your opportunity on this one too.
Right. I was actually looking for a quote by Christopher Hitchens because I think he said it brilliantly. In God is not great, that the religion, and I'm going to expand this to all kinds of other bullshit, poisons everything, and it's offensive to sort of human dignity and intelligence, the amount of stuff that we hear out there, and to hear other, you know, otherwise intelligent people advocating or spouting complete infantile nonsense and denigrating other human beings based on this bullshit is one of the most horrible things that I hear.
Fair enough. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up and explain it to you what it is that I find offensive about a lot of things, because I can pretty well wrap it up in a good piece. Now, to kind of touch on what Heretic Woman was saying about Saudi Arabia, saying that, you know, we were one of the first ones with human rights, I believe the expression is, well, what have you done for me lately? To put things in perspective. People's religion doesn't offend me. People having a different opinion on stuff doesn't offend me. People who think about things differently don't offend me. Because believe it or not, those things I value. Because when people have got a difference of opinion, you get to find out new things. And sometimes those new things can take you into areas that are better than where you were. But as we found in science, you know, there's no such thing as a bad outcome in science. You find out new information. Sometimes you end up with information that helps you to disprove something, which I know I'm using it incorrectly, or prove towards something. Sometimes you find out that, you know what, maybe you can't take two semis and run them against each other if you're using the wrong breakaway cord, no matter who it was that came up with it. Yes, that's a Mythbusters reference. You should really watch the show. It's really good.
I was going to say, there is almost no such thing as a bad outcome when it comes to science. Anybody who's worked with Mercury may disagree with you.
Yes, but...
Or Madame Curie.
Yes. However, in the long run, failure is always an option, is a great way for science to look at stuff.
Mm.
If you make a mistake, you learn from it.
Yeah, if at least science is learning from its mistakes.
Exactly. And what is a mistake in science except bad information that you started with that you can now say, this doesn't work? Well, you talk badly towards somebody, you have a difference of opinion, you know, you can work with that in order to find out why not. Why isn't it good? Why is it bad? What offends me? What's wrong to me? What's bad? Unfairness. Ultimately, it is one of the biggest offenses to me. Unfairness. You want to go ahead and you want to bully somebody around? That's unfair, because you're now saying you need to do something because I told you to, for no other good reason. There's a logical fallacy that's intentionally and explicitly for exactly that. Telling people that they need to do things the way that you want them to. Because why?
Because what is that logical fallacy?
That one is might makes right. Just because I have a sword means that I win. Because you don't. If I have a better weapon than you, if I have a bigger bodyguard than you, I win. So he who has the gold makes the rules.
The Athenians put it, the strong do what they can, and the weak suffer what they must.
So the unfairness is an offense to me.
And the funny part of it is, it's not just me that gets offended by this kind of thing. Otherwise, quote-unquote, dumb laboratory animals have shown that they understand the idea of fair play, of unfairness. There have been tests that have shown that a sense of morality, of fair play, of equality, permeates even the lower primates. Even rats have shown this kind of thing, for crying out loud. It's not something that is a human endeavor. Unfairness is taxing on society as a whole, not just our own, but all societies, whether we recognize them as sentient or not. So why is that offensive to me? Because you don't want me to tell you what to do, what to think, or where to go, just because I want you to. Because after all, do you really want me to tell you that you're not allowed to wear a colander on your head? Oh, I'm sorry. Those solid colanders are called yarmulkes. I'm sorry. Or would you rather that I tell you that you're not allowed to wear dirt on your forehead once a year? Or that you're not allowed to go to Stonehenge to celebrate the solstice or the equinox? Because I said so. Because I can't be there. That's why you can't go there. That's dumb. That's unfair. And really, if you want society to move forward, you need to be fair. Everybody needs to be treated equally. And no, that doesn't mean that you get to win out because your holy book said that you are supposed to. And that offends you because I've told you that you can't have your way? We have another term for that. The terrible twos. Get the hell over yourself and grow up. There's more than just you out in the sandbox. As always, thank you all very much for hanging out with us and listening. We hope that you've enjoyed the show. We know that it's not exactly the most specialized show, but we still believe that all of our perspectives are worth listening to and thinking about. As always,
I like to think we're all very special.
As always, thank you all for hanging out with me. Running backwards, Chris, of course, thank you very kindly. Good morning. And what would you like to finish off with and plug and say in good morning?
Nothing really to plug this week.
Well, that's rather uneventful. Okay. Joseph, good morning. Thank you very kindly. And what would you like to press?
Me, as usual, I've got nothing to plug. Critical thought.
Always a good thing. We'll see about, as a matter of fact, maybe we'll see about having that in the sometime near future. Joey, of course, good night, and thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely, and really, to the folks who are who take offense and act like that's some kind of, you know, badge on their vest to go ahead and parade around, I've shown this before. I'm certainly going to show it again at some point. But here you go. For those who can't see it, Miss Coulter may be exactly the worst kind of person in the limelight, but thankfully she's not the only one there, and we do have some folks who do have a fair brain screwed into their heads. This one comes from our good friend across the pond, Stephen Fry.
Joe, yeah. Yeah. Your image is not coming up. Is it the quote that I think that you're going to do?
I see it.
I don't have it on my video feed. Oh, now it's coming up. There it is.
There it is.
Okay. It's now very common to hear people say, "I'm rather offended by that," as if that gives them certain rights. It's no more than a whine. It has no meaning, It has no purpose. It has no reason to be respected as a phrase. I'm offended by that. Well, so fucking what?
I just want to add, if you're offended, you're not thinking.
And Heretic Woman, of course, good night for you, and thank you very much for your time, and plug away.
Well, first of all, I would also like to say that you do not have a right to avoid being offended either. So, tough noogies. Yes, I have a few things to plug, like my shows. There's Beyond the Trailer Park, which is Wednesdays at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Secular TV. There is My Secular Savior, which is mysecularsavior.com. We should be putting out a new episode within the next week. And yeah, there's, I'll give my friend Beth there a plug at Havoc in Chaos. She's my co-host, so go check her out as well, because she writes lots and lots and lots of stuff. And she gets really sick of the stupid, so, you know.
Well, I know that feeling very well.
She's drowning in the stupid over there, so give her for sure. And if and when I ever get time to get over there, there's always the Forbidden Fruit radio show that when I have time, I hang out and kind of co-host a little bit on there, too. So there you go. And all my Twitters are on my lovely graphic.
That sounds ever so delightfully naughty.
Yes. And for those of you that, for whatever reason, can't read it because maybe you're
audio. Yes, sorry. Now you're making me go look at myself because, at Heretic Woman, of course, at Beyond TT Park, and at My Secular Savior.
So there you go. So for us, of course, if you are enjoying what we do, I am still continuing to work on, albeit it slowly, the website for us, which is, of course, holycrapthevlogcast.com. It's slow going. I know. I need to coordinate with Dallin in order to get all these pieces together. It's just taking a little bit of time. Please forgive me. I'm still getting there. If you would like to follow the show, we've got all of the social links over there. However, you can write to us at podcast@ Holy Crap the Vlogcast. On Twitter, it's at Holy Crap TV. YouTube, Google Plus, and Facebook, it's / Holy Crap the Vlogcast. One way or another, you can probably figure it out from there. And if you would like to send in a voicemail, the phone number for that is 859-HCTV 554. The number's on that is 859-428-8554. And we can see about that. There will not be a show next week. I will be in Toronto for an art convention along with my daughter.
Yay, Lion.
Yes. Tirana. Which is going to be great.
That's Tirana.
With any luck, I need to coordinate, I may be able to see about having coffee or dinner with you on the way back, Heretic Woman. We'll see about that. But I found out that, there's somebody else that would be along the way that I want to, I need to get in touch with also and see if we can get maybe the three of us, four of us, mm-hmm. would be able to coordinate, maybe. I don't know that would happen, but I think that would be very cool. You know,
I sure will travel.
Yes, I don't know if it'll happen, but we'll see. If it does, we'll tell you about it later, but not ahead of time because, we'll work from there.
Mm-hmm.
As Joe mentioned, it's a little over a year that we're going, and we're not stopping yet. We're still going, and I'm really proud for that. So all of you who have been hanging out with us, of course, for all this time, thank you very kindly. Really do appreciate it. And I'm slowly getting the videos up onto the YouTube, the proper YouTube account. It's a little bit slow going because there's technological reasons. It's just a pain in the butt. You can download 5 of your videos a day. 1 an hour. All right, fine. You know, whatever, YouTube. It's my video, damn it. Whatever. But we'll get around to that. And before we get out of here, of course, again, large pride to Noah. I know I mentioned it earlier, but Noah, you blew us away, man. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Rafe and family. We're thinking of you. And if it's at all possible, someone out there would kindly send me an email. Due to the show, shootingtribble@holycrapthevlogcast. Please, someone send me when Rafe was arrested, because I want to put a ticker on the show. However many days since, because there is no reason why someone should be under the thumb of any government because they were picked up by the Thought Police. Our hearts go out to you, and we're still thinking, and we're still hoping. With any luck, when you're with your family, after you've had an opportunity of resting, maybe you come and join us.
17th of June, 2012.
Okay, somebody write that down for me, and I will see about making a note for myself so I don't lose it. In the meantime, as always, everyone, thank you very kindly for your time. We'll talk to you soon. And as always, for my wife, Matene Fujin, I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. Until the next time we get together, everyone, which will be 2 weeks from now, live, or maybe 5 seconds from now if you're listening to or watching the video, take care of yourselves, and of course, stay safe. We'll talk to you then. Good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.